Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We begin today with discussions about human fibroid cells and supplementing to improve our testosterone levels and research on the physical activity, what can it do to protect against depression, especially if you're older, and heavy metals in the body, not good, and muscadine grapes, really good, and neuroscience and meditation. Those are the topics that we have selected, all coming from the National Library of Medicine, PubMed, peer-reviewed journals. Now, the first study comes from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and it shows that in a new study using human fibroid cells, it supports the use of green tea compound as a treatment for uterine fibroids. Well, that's very important because uterine fibroids, from a lot of causes, but in my own clinical background, I found that working with thousands and thousands of women and those that had fibroids, and I also found fibrocystic breasts, caffeine was a big contributing factor because when we put them on elimination diets, got rid of all the caffeine and got rid of all the sugars, processed sugars, it made a big difference in helping with that fibroid problem. But according to Johns Hopkins, in a preclinical proof of concept study from Johns Hopkins Medicine, researchers found that EGCG, that's the epigallocatechin gallate, that's green tea, that's the chemicals in green tea that really make it effective. And that set of chemicals, EGCG, and get on non-caffeinated green tea, by the way, has powerful antioxidant properties. And that could be promising for both treating and preventing uterine fibroids. So this was published in Scientific Reports, and it just adds on to the thousands of other articles about why green tea is so good. And not just in reducing fibroid cell growth, but in preventing cancer, helping if you have cancer, etc. So a glass of, or two, or three, of non-caffeinated green tea each day. And for some reason you don't have it, you can buy the tablets or capsules that are caffeine-free. And you can get 200 milligrams, 500, 700. It's all good. By the way, uterine fibroids are the most common benign tumors of the uterus. And they're really made up of just smooth muscle cells and a large matrix of connective tissue. And the fibroids range in size from virtually microscopic to bulky masses that can enlarge and distort the uterus. About 77% of women will develop fibroids in their lifetimes, most of them by the age of 50. And Black and Hispanic women develop them at almost a half a times more or two times more than white women. I also found in my research trying to help these women that I was working with that birth control pills contributes to that as well. So getting off birth controls and using other safe preventative barriers is a good thing. All right, and this just shows one more thing to help you take your green tea every day. And by the way, green tea reduces a protein of the what is called fibronectin, which about 52% compared to the group that didn't receive it. So just a lot of good with green tea. All right, now for those of you who have less testosterone than you need, and by the way, I am not an advocate of taking synthetic estrogen supplements or listening to people promising, well, take this supplement, you'll increase your testosterone level. Not good, because there's all kinds of side effects you can have. I saw photographs of a man who's 30 years of age and phenomenal muscles. I mean, tiny little waist, huge muscles. First of all, that's his right. And I worked out with weights a lot, but I do it as powerlifting. In other words, just to gain strength. You can see for yourself, go back, Gary Nall, look at the exercise photographs and you'll see. I was bulked, had all the abs, and still had that less weight, but same physique today, but without the testosterone. Human growth hormone is what you need, and that comes from exercise. So as we get older, we tend not to exercise. When we tend not to exercise, we begin to lose muscle mass. And that's not good. We can lose as much as 1% of our muscle mass per year. And if you're bedridden, or if you're in a wheelchair, you really have to have physical therapy to get all the muscles moving. If not, use electromagnetic pulses. That is, can pulse the muscle and get the stimulation of the blood, lymphatic system moving through it. You don't want a sedentary life. It will kill you absolutely sooner than what you should die. Now, there's another device I've seen. I haven't tested it. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it meets the claims, but it's a series of devices like little pads, and you put them on your belly and you hit a button and it gives you all these vibrations equivalent to doing 40,000 sit-ups. And you see all these guys with perfect abs. Well, I don't know if those perfect abs came from using that. I don't know if they were actors. A lot of things you see on television have not been independently confirmed. But overall, if you're bedridden and let's say you can develop ulcerative sores, which can lead to gangrene and amputations and death. In 1 year recently, over 80,000 Americans died from bed sores. And that's completely preventable. First of all, you can get a mattress with electromagnetic stimulation in it. So you're stimulating the muscles to contract and contract and contract and contract. Even when I'm doing power walking, this is for you today too. Just as an aside, when I'm out there doing some speed work, every step I take, I'm creating a fist and relaxing, fist and relax, fist and relax. That's helping all these muscles, tricep, bicep, deltoids, trapezoids. It's helping strengthen them, keep them strong, in fact, without all the extra fat. So just some suggestions. Now, from Poznan University of Life Sciences in Poland, TMG supplementation associated with improved testosterone levels. So exercise helps because it stimulates human growth hormone. But TMG, trimethylglycine, now this was and by the way, you can get a little tiny TMG tablets, 200 milligrams, 100 milligrams, and you put them under your tongue. In fact, in the New York City Marathon, we had our own little kit, coenzyme Q10, magnesium, not vitamin C. You don't want vitamin C during a marathon. And we had all these nutrients, vitamin E, that can help keep the blood thin and energize you. TMG helps prevent the cramps and lactic acid buildup, allows you that extra pace without getting fatigued. Now, this was a randomized crossover trial, and it resulted in improvements in exercise performance and testosterone levels among CrossFit practitioners who supplement with trimethylglycine, or TMG. It's also known as betaine, B-E-T-A-I-N-E. This was reported in the Journal of International Sports and Sports Nutrition. By the way, cross-training is very important. Biking, swimming, power walking, running. The more you do the gym workout, the stronger, better you're going to be. And also from the University of Limerick in Ireland, research shows even moderate levels of physical activity can protect against depression among older adults. So this new study shows get up and exercise. This was done at two universities, University of Limerick and Trinity College Dublin. Physical activity, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, of moderate to intense physical activity, like brisk walking for most people, can make an enormous difference. All right? Going to allow you to live longer and have 43% lower odds of major depression based upon the study. And finally, from Mount Sinai Medical Center, metals, meaning heavy metals, mercury, lead, cadmium, copper, metal pollution in everything we eat and breathe is triggering strokes and heart attacks. One more reason to have in your home a high quality, don't buy the cheap ones, if you can afford, you know, 700 to the big commercial ones that I have one right behind me here, and it cost me $1,300, and it lasts. I've had this 20 years, and I just clean the filters, has 5 stages of filtration, gets rid of everything, mold, standards, dust, but any of the ions that are large, gets rid of them. But the reality is that we need to filter our air. Now, houseplants are also good. the more houseplants you have. And if you go to any botanist or any of these stores and say, I'd like a plant that can take pollutants out of the air and give me more oxygen. They know all the plants and get your whole office, house fit with those. If you drive a lot, if you commute a lot, then in your car, get an air filtration system. They're not expensive, $150 for one of the best. And there's dozens of different ones. But they trap. What happens is they throw out ions, and each one has a different rating. And those ions go for about 12 inches. And so therefore, I wear one around my neck whenever I'm out in the public. I go to a movie, I do a lecture. They come in black, so if you wear dark clothing, no one will even notice it. Because sometimes on an airplane, they say, what's that? And I'll say, it's just a little, freshens my air. Okay, sometimes they haven't been nice and say, no, take it off. All right. And that's why I wear the darker colors, clothes when I'm traveling, and I put it right up there. Because it's creating a barrier, and it's trapping and neutralizing viruses, bacteria, heavy metals in the air. And it's terrific. So one thing we can all wear when we go into a place, even when I go to the farmer's market, it's outdoors. There's low likelihood of being polluted by anything. I still wear inside, definitely, when I'm going out someplace. In any case, here's the takeaway message. Metal pollution, even in small amounts, increase the risk of cardiovascular disease and potentially leading to strokes and heart attacks. That's a new study, all right? Scientists have found that everyday foods and drinks, including chocolate, juices, plant-based milks, teas, sodas, often contain traces of poisonous chemicals like arsenic, lead, and cadmium. Now, these toxic elements, which naturally exist in our soil and atmosphere, have been linked to the world's leading cause of death due to chronic exposure at low or even moderate levels. The American Heart Association cautions that this has significant implications for both clinical and public health. Look, one of the reasons I selected to live in Texas, where I do, and here in Florida, where I do, is there's no industry, none. There's also the mountains with all the millions of trees. That cleans the air, gives you oxygen, traps carbon dioxide and pollutants. Rain washes a lot of pollutants out of the air. Here, every day, and for 6 months it rains. But also, I'm off the Gulf, so that protects me to a degree. It certainly protects me from flooding. I don't get any flooding, but even a Category 5 hurricane. But I've compensated for that in how I built everything. My walls could withstand a 300-mile-an-hour wind, and I put the walls around my water tank, with reverse osmosis, 500-gallon water tank. I have two of them. And then also around my electrical connections, my water pump. Because what's the first thing that goes out in a storm? Electricity. Okay, what's your plan B? Well, I've got two. I got solar, plan A, and I got 3,000-gallon tank of propane that is fed right into my system. So I've got power for 5 months, if no other power existed. And then I have a commercial generator, all protected by barriers. Now, these are not expensive. Did one myself, took me about 3 days, dig out your footer, pour concrete in it, level it out, pour concrete in it, about 6 inches, and then you get your cinder blocks, clear around, let's say your water tank. So it's about 12 foot by 12 foot by 12 foot. And then you put your cinder blocks, then you put your rebar in it, then you fill the cavities with concrete. Then you put a metal door on the front. Well, guess what? Nothing is going to knock off the water and the electricity. And you can do this. For goodness sake, if you have a house, and if you live near the water, build a 5 to 6 foot up, even go higher. Always build it as high as a surge. So in the lower Ninth Ward, the surge was at 8 to 9 feet. This last year, right here in Florida, Southwest Florida, it was 12 feet. So you've got to have your source of power higher than the water. And people don't think of that. And they should. Little inconvenient? Yes. Little time, very little money? Yes. But then you have power. You have water, you have refrigeration, you have everything. And people just don't think about it. I'm just sharing that as an aside. But one of the things we should also have are filters for our car, filters on our person, and filters in our home. Because I don't have air pollution here. All right? But think of the people living where they think there's no air pollution because they can't see it. And then think of the places where you can see it and it's really bad. Recently in New York and the whole East Coast, we saw the Canadian fires, wildfires, and the smoke. That's very damaging. But now we're seeing on the West Coast, all up and down the West Coast, the coal-fired furnaces from China. All of that is coming across the Pacific and infiltrating people's lungs. Just giving you a heads up, it's there. Here's the American Heart Association agreeing with that, and virtually all the scientific articles in the literature on air pollution, how bad it is. In some places, it's terrible. I remember there was a very nice couple, that a father and daughter, that picked me up. He was a professor. She just got in the day before from China, where she was studying. And they were taking me to a lecture as a fundraiser for KPFK. And we're talking, and I said, where have you been? China. Oh, what's it like there? Your experience? And she said, well, if you could see it, it's great. And then I said, what do you mean? She said, well, yesterday, I had to put my hand out. And when my hand was stretched out, my arm was, I couldn't see my fingers. That's how bad the pollution was. Everybody was told to stay inside. And that's something they have on and off all the time. So you don't want to live in a place that has that kind of pollution. I mean, look, you don't want lead and you don't want cadmium. And when they tested 28 chocolate brands, all 28 had cadmium. It's absorbed by the roots of the cacao plants, ends up in the cacao beans, which lead to is spread by the wind in surrounding areas as the beans dry in the open. These metals interfere with essential biological functions and affect most populations on a global scale. After exposure, lead and cadmium accumulate in the body and remain in the bones and organs for decades. And vulnerable people, including those living near busy roads, industrial plants, or hazardous waste sites, as well as residents of older houses or areas where environmental regulations are poorly enforced, are at great risk. Premature death. That's serious. Now, the good news is, by taking in sulfur products, onions, garlic, shallots, you help trap this and get it out of the body. Chelation therapy gets it out of the body. I would do chelation therapy twice a year, three sessions, just to clean all those toxins out of your body. And you can see them. You can see them on the in the blood chemistry before and after. It also helps with your brain, turns off inflammation. You don't want those heavy metals. And for goodness sake, at some point, ask yourself, what would be the ideal place in this great world we have to live, where you have pure water, pure air, nice people? Because that's where we should be putting ourselves. We weren't born to work, come home from work, eat, watch television, talk, and go to bed. That's not our purpose. So look at the world as an opportunity for yourself now. And there are a couple of nutrients that help detoxify heavy metals. Folate and folic acid, 1 milligram. N-acetylcysteine, NAC, and vitamin C and chlorophyll. Spirulina, chlorella. These are some of the best. The chlorophyll from plants, therefore the more juices you drink, you're getting then more chelating and getting it out of the body. Juicing is one of the great ways to lower, with vitamin C, to lower the heavy metal levels in your body. Okay, that's the latest on health and healing. Went a little long today, but I wanted to share this important stuff with you. Remember, you can go to GaryNall.com and look at all the new articles and essays that I have up there. All right, and also GaryNall newsletter. every day people get that and all kinds of new information. And they'll also get my latest articles. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Think of being a famous scientist, highly respected, no controversy. Think of being a Nobel Prize winning scientist. Think about being one of tens of thousands of medical doctors or scientists or even pharmacists who've had an impeccable reputation. They've supported all of the government mandates. They support the flu vaccine. They support anything the American Academy of Pediatrics or American Heart Association or the American Medical Association suggest. And they're at the top of their fields. Think if you're a Yale professor, fully tenured, you're an MD, PhD, you've published over 300 articles in the peer-reviewed literature, you sit on at least six scientific magazine boards. That's a very difficult thing to do. And you've never had a major controversy. Until something happens, and suddenly everyone who was pure orthodox, never questioned, was always obedient, did what you could within your field, but you never questioned whether or not there was another way of doing it. You always went along. And then one day you find out that something doesn't make sense here. And then you start to probe and you look and you use your expertise and your skills and your contacts and you think, wow, the PCR test, which was won by a Nobel Prize winner, Kerry Mullis, where he won the Nobel Prize in chemistry for it, he says at high amplifications it's useless, it's junk. But Anthony Fauci says the same thing on television, above 23 to 26 amplifications, it's junk. And then you think, hold on a second. You contact the CDC, and you ask, what is the repetition cycle? It's 41 to 44. That's double what we were told would create junk. And you think, oh my God, we just tested everyone in the world with a false test. It's junk test. Surely someone will stop this and recalibrate it, bring it down to, let's say, 13 cycles repetition, not 41. But it doesn't happen. And now the New York Times, dutiful as it is to the orthodox view, it establishes that we have cases and cases and cases. If you think as a lay person, a case, that's someone with a disease. No, but we didn't have those diseases diagnosed by that test. So the vast majority of these tests were false negatives or false positives. So you write an article about it. You bring it up in one of the many publications you publish with, and you find out that it's retracted or won't be published. And you start talking about it, and as a doctor, you're saying, my God, I'm helping my patients. The first sign they show a symptom, I'm giving them these 23 or some combination of 23 different FDA-approved off-label medications, and none of my patients are dying. They're getting over COVID, no matter what their age or circumstance, very quickly. None are going to the hospital unless I get to them very late. But early, no. And you start looking at all the young people, the babies, the infants, teenagers. They're not dying of COVID. They may be dying of comorbidity, but not COVID. And so you start to talk about it, and you find that you're told, shut up. So you go to Twitter. You're not allowed to talk. You're banned. You go to Google. Banned. You go to Facebook. Banned. And you think, how's this possible? Because you're spreading disinformation. You're a vaccine denialist. No, I took all the vaccines. Robert Kennedy took all the vaccines. All of his kids took the vaccines. Everybody took all the vaccines. We're all doctors taking the vaccines, giving them to our patients. Why are you saying we're in denial of this? Dr. Malone took all the vaccines, including the COVID vaccines, as did the others. And then they started seeing all the illnesses, side effects, but they don't see those reported in the major medical journals. That's a reality. Everything I just told you is absolutely 100% accurate. Now we're getting thousands of articles and reports showing that everything we were told about COVID was wrong. Yes, it's a deadly virus. Yes, it could have been treated early, and we wouldn't have had a pandemic. We wouldn't have had an epidemic. We would have had nothing more than a hard flu season. Oh, and by the way, what happened to 100% of all the flu deaths, like 60 to 70,000 a year? They were gone. Oh, you relabeled those as COVID deaths? Yes. Everything you were told is a lie. That's not me saying it. In their own words. But we've got their emails. We've got their confidential correspondence. We have whistleblowers. We have people telling us the truth. So what will come of this? Depends upon who's in power. If the same people who supported Fauci and the deep state is always in power, then nothing will happen to anyone. We'll be told, lessons learned, move on. They want to be identified. They want amnesty. How can you have amnesty if you don't acknowledge you've committed a crime? Well, we're not admitting anything. Just give us amnesty. I see. So you walk into a police headquarters and you say, do not arrest me, but give me a note saying you will not arrest me. For what? What'd you do? Well, I can't say. Nothing wrong. Just I want to make sure I never get arrested. The insanity of this, the lack of intellectual acumen, the lack of decency, the lack of common sense reason is palpable. We have gone into the dumbest age in American history. We are disintegrating at every single level. Why? Because a relatively small group of people want control over our lives, and a large group of people are willing to give it to them without question. I see. So those of you who went along with everything until it was your day, they came knocking on your door. And now you're thinking, my career's gone. I'm being censored. I can't appear anywhere anymore. Yeah. All those things happened to hundreds of scientists and physicians. This is not new. This happened back in 1984. The same organizations, National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, the National Cancer Institute, the FDA, CDC, and U.S. Public Health Service, headed by Anthony Fauci, wanted to give you a drug for AIDS. It was called AZT, and everyone embraced it, and understandably so. But then we find out the drug has terrible side effects. Did anyone in the mainstream media speak with the inventor of it at the National Cancer Institute, who, quote, threw it on the junk heap of science? It was so toxic? No. Did anyone expose the corruption of the clinical trial showing it was not legitimate? Yes, but no one paid attention to Lynn Gannett. She came into my office. I paid attention. She had the documentation. She was one of the supervisors of the study. She said people were taking the drug and dying, and they're not being listed on the fatality reports. It's all a fraud. She handed me the correspondence between her and the FDA. The FDA didn't care. The mission was, bring this drug out, and someone's going to make billions of dollars. That was Burroughs Wellcome. And then they spread that money around to different age groups. Support what they had to do? Oh, you got all the money you wanted. Challenge it, and suddenly you were an AIDS denialist. I did the first investigative report in the United States on the dangers of AZT. I debated at New York Medical School with four physicians. They were all supporting it. I was against it. And then I did a documentary on natural approaches to treating it. It was called AIDS, The Real Heroes. I premiered it over at Lincoln Center at the Walter Reed Theater. It was packed. I had worked with over 1,200 people with AIDS. Not one died. And then a small group wanted to go on an advanced protocol. 16 months later, all of them had reversed their full-blown AIDS, HIV to HIV negative, and were taken on television. Over a two-year period, this was occurring on a regular basis. No one was ever charged a penny, by the way, for anything. We donated several million dollars. These are working-class physicians and nurses. We donated money so they could get their vitamin drips and treatment without charge. David Patterson, senator at that time, state of New York, later become governor, he called me. We had a meeting, and he said, Gary, what you're doing within the African-American community with people with AIDS and the physicians in the community is terrific. We've got to get this information out. Do a press conference. Have an independent group of scientists assess all of the medical records and the blood chemistries to show these people had full-blown AIDS. Here's their chemistry. Here's their original diagnosis. Now, here's the only treatment they got. No other treatment. And they no longer have the disease, or they had the HIV virus, but they're completely healthy. All their immune markers are normal. You do that, you will save millions of lives. I agreed. A year later, we had the press conference. Not a single member of the media showed up. Not one. No one from any of the age groups showed up. No one from any of the pro-AZT community showed up. Fortunately, I filmed that. And there it sat for years. Everyone that I spoke to, hundreds of physicians and scientists, no controversy, they were all destroyed. Every single one of them, Peter, David Raznick, David, all of the people, the good journalists, all the gay journalists who supported using a more natural approach or challenging what was being done with AZT, they were all destroyed. Skip ahead, no lessons learned. People died who didn't have to. Millions died who could have been saved because I cured AIDS. But instead of getting any acknowledgement and having people come in, all the African-American doctors came in by the dozens, and they were at the Apollo Theater by the dozens when the theater was packed, standing room only, every day for 3 days. Bill Tatum organized it, publisher of the AmSAM News. I was on Tony Brown's Journal 6 to 7 times with AIDS patients and their medical records, all of which had been vetted for accuracy. Not a single comment anywhere, except you must be an AIDS denialist. That's what Wikipedia says now. No. But the truth doesn't matter when you have an agenda and you're profiting from it, either financially or ideologically or politically. Sound familiar? What I'm going to do for the rest of the program is I'm going to show you one half of a documentary that was done by the International Society for Independent Investigative Journalists. The narrator of the film, I'm not in the film, by the way, the narrator of the film is Celia Farber. Everything you're about to watch, and I hope you watch by going to prn.live, scrolling down to archives, scrolling down to carrying on, you can watch it. Otherwise, you'll listen to it. Every single statement in here has been validated, verified, and everything is third-person specific, meaning I'm not saying something. You can agree or disagree with me, but these are outside people. These are journalists, Emmy Award-winning journalists. These are you know, Earl Caldwell, Bill Tatum. These are top journalists. So here's my question. We had a cure for AIDS that was natural, non-toxic. They had a death pill called AZT, which killed, we estimate, up to 300,000, more or less, young people who took it and believed them. They attack us for promoting a natural and non-toxic approach. The media sided with them, the government sided with them, and as a result, millions of people who could be alive and well today died. They're still in power. We have no power. They control the media. I won't interview with the media anymore because it's a group of pathological lying individuals. But I want you to know the truth, not from my lips, but from the people who validated, who came to the Tri-State Healing Center, who met with 22 medical staff, who looked at the patient records, who interviewed the patients, who looked at their blood chemistries and saw, my God, if anyone else done this, it'd have been the front page of the New York Times, it'd have been spread worldwide, and we'd had a national worldwide program to stop AIDS and reverse it. But we didn't because of Anthony Fauci, because of the manufacturer, because of the lobbying, because the political action groups that all benefited from the official protocol. Sound familiar? Kind of sounds like it's COVID all over again. Yeah, it is. Kind of interesting because many of the doctors who I would debate who didn't know a thing about a natural approach to heart disease or blood pressure lowering or weight loss. I'm working with a man now, 99 years of age. He's in our anti-aging study group. He's getting more and more attentive and cognitive aware. He was just down there. We filmed him. You'll see about him. Does anyone from the Alzheimer's group come to see what we're doing? No, they don't want to know. Fritz Perl said it best, a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. If you don't want to know the truth, you won't look for it. If you want to embrace the lie and make it your truth, you will do exactly that. No one's going to open a closed mind. Nobody can push a boulder up the hill. Look at Sisyphus as an example. So I just want to play this because this is very timely, because only now are we seeing that everything and everyone involved in promoting the vaccines were lying, many unintentionally, many innocently, just obediently, but the rest, oh, they fully knew what they were doing. But look at the hundreds of billions of dollars in profit they took. Wow. And none of them will be prosecuted, no matter what the court system reveals. This could have been stopped a long time ago. We should have stopped Anthony Fauci from having any power back in the early 1980s when he mismanaged through arrogance, conceit, and whatever other motives he had, the war on AIDS. Now let's take you back in history, but bring it up to date and show you the corollaries between the battle on AIDS and the battle with COVID. Let's go to the film.
From 1981 to 2021, the world has confronted a terrible scourge that has impacted countless individuals with fear, pain, and death. This is the story of the earliest successful treatment for AIDS. If the mainstream scientific community had paid attention, tens of thousands of lives may have been saved. These are the voices revealing the pain, profit, and politics of AIDS.
Is now the leading cause of death among young people in this country.
No one with AIDS has been cured.
Diagnosis: AIDS, always fatal. A virus that may be on the move into the general population.
We're all scared to death. We'd like to know what the hell we're supposed to do here. You know, what should we do? Should we stay home and lock ourselves back in the closet? Or, you know, what should we do?
You can understand the fear when you realize that almost everyone here has lost someone close to him.
I lost my best friend.
Did you?
4 years ago. He died of pneumocystis pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And I watched him die. I watched him right, you know, just right in front of me, just disintegrate.
I saw no less than 8 people completely reverse AIDS. I had never seen this in the medical community in the hospital.
We had good results, very good results. In fact, there were some patients that they were absolutely convert from positive to negative.
When something this life-saving happens, you'd think that all of the media, especially the pharmaceutical industry, would be very interested to hear what we were doing to help people heal.
And these people, according to the records, had seroconverted, had no traces of AIDS or no traces of the HIV virus in their system, which was remarkable.
All the medical care that we gave, including supplements, ozone therapy, chiropractic, all the care that was given for free, pro bono.
They did ozone, they did vitamin C drips. We cleansed their system as much as possible. We did stress reduction. And there are a few people that serum converted.
They were completely in remission, and then we continued testing them, and they were completely cured.
So in my professional opinion, as a healthcare worker, I think this is a crime against humanity. They continue to pour billions of dollars into toxic orthodoxy approaches, and they're preventing other people from healing because of their own greed.
Most of the patients treated at the time was with AZT, a very strong antiviral and very, very toxic.
People hoped that AZT therapy would help, but the side effects were often extreme and lives on average were only prolonged for a year.
We did not prescribe any antiretroviral drugs.
They were all very sick with AIDS-related symptoms, and it was wonderful to watch all their viral loads come down and their health improve week after week until we finally seroconverted them.
The chronic conditions that go along with AIDS, Kaposi's sarcoma, pneumocystic carini, horrible disease, thrush, and all the gut biome issues that happen with these patients, I watched them slowly but surely reverse.
We saw all the viral loads come down. The T cell counts returned to normal.
They got on the protocols. They followed the protocols with all natural approaches. Not one chemical, not one drug. And I watched all of them completely reverse. HIV positive switched to HIV negative. They became healthy human beings from being at death's door.
We had all this information available, and that the news media refused to publish this, where this therapy could have saved countless lives.
And there we were with all of these lab results that showed that these people reversed AIDS. And here's the catch. No one in the medical profession was interested in seeing these results.
Hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent on our war against AIDS. The medical industry has focused on antiretroviral drugs to combat the HIV virus. All efforts to develop a vaccine have failed. Ignored and forgotten during the AIDS crisis is a heroic struggle by a small group of physicians, nurses, and healthcare professionals who succeeded in treating 1,200 patients with advanced AIDS. Relying on protocols developed by Dr. Gary Null at Manhattan's Tri-State Healing Center, none of these patients died from the virus. 18 of these patients reversed all of their AIDS-related conditions, regained full health, and converted to HIV negative. In other words, the HIV virus was no longer present in their bodies.
Had I not seen the lab results with my own eyes, I probably would not have believed that something like this was possible.
At the Tri-State Healing Center, for many, many years, we were able to treat, along with board-certified physicians, nurses, and registered dietitians, many, many different medical problems, including over 1,000 AIDS-related patients with various symptoms.
I've had many people try to challenge me with what I'm about to share with you. Because the time that I was a nurse, both on hands and as a manager, I work with many patients with all different types of illnesses, both terminal and chronic. And one of the most important ones were the patients that had AIDS. Now, this was during the 80s, during the big AIDS epidemic. And during that time, AIDS was a death sentence. So people would come in with fear and anxiety, and we'd treat them. We treated them with the only drug we had at the time that was fast-tracked at the time, and that was AZT. And for the most part, I have never, ever, during my time at the hospital, seen anyone either survive AIDS or come to any kind of shade of health. And then I found out about the Tri-State Healing Center in New York City. I was very curious because they talk about very non-invasive, natural approaches to chronic diseases. And actually, I was very skeptical because coming from conventional medicine, from the orthodox indoctrination, I wouldn't have thought that something like that was possible.
I apologize for not revealing my name, face, and full identity. I'm merely following the precautionary principle. However, what I will share has been fully documented and verified by multiple sources. It is the truth. For many years, I was part of a medical team at the Tri-State Healing Center on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. We were working with over 1,200 people who were diagnosed with full-blown AIDS. All of the services we provided to these patients was free of charge. When they arrived at the center, most of these individuals had serious adverse health conditions typical of AIDS symptoms.
When we first began with these AIDS patients in this comprehensive program, we would have weekly meetings with the entire group headed by Dr. Null, and we reviewed all the cases. We did regular blood workups on the patients, monitoring their T cell counts, their CD counts, as well as their viral load from the HIV virus. We saw all the viral loads come down, the T cell counts returned to normal, and eventually we had our first breakthrough after 16 months with our first seroconversion from HIV positive to HIV negative.
Instead, Dr. Gary Null created drug-free treatment protocols. Our medical staff also offered a limited number of 8 patients to follow a more advanced protocol. This required them to come to the clinic 5 days a week for approximately 16 months.
And following that time, we had 7 more patients who seroconverted. And none of these patients were well when they first came in, so we did it the easy way. They were all very sick with various symptoms, AIDS-related symptoms. We decided that we would open the doors and allow physicians of all types to come in and see the work that we were doing and observe the benefits that all these patients were receiving during the course of this protocol and the time we were doing this. What was kind of surprising is how few virtually ever took us up on the offer and came in to observe. I do remember one or two that did come in and they were blown away, if you want to call it that, and impressed at the results that we were achieving. It was very hard for them to believe it, but it was in front of their eyes. They couldn't refute it.
So I began journeying into New York City after my shift was over. And I did this for about 6 years. I went back and forth every day. And when I first got there, I was surprised at what I saw. But I will tell you that my whole life changed from that point forward.
We were getting people in who were as close to death as you could possibly imagine. They had all of them tried all the pharmaceuticals, all the antivirals, and had failed. They were getting sicker and sicker. Many of them were near death.
It generally took about a year for their underlying conditions to be resolved, and then another 6 months for their immune systems, including T cell counts and other immune markers, to return to normal.
One man from California who came in had watched all the people in his support group, which was quite a large number, pass away on all these antivirals. More people come into the group and pass away. He came in near death's door also, and we saved his life. And he watched us save the lives of so many others, and over the course of time, and it was just wonderful, heartwarming, and amazing that we were all able to have this beneficial effect.
Every one of these 8 patients remarkably reversed their HIV positive diagnosis to HIV negative. In other words, they seroconverted at the beginning of the treatment. These patients gave the center permission to share the results of their blood tests, their viral load analysis, and disease status with outside physicians and journalists.
I saw Gary in the hallway one day, and I said, "Gary, my name is Doug Henderson, blah, blah, blah. I've listened to you for so long. I'm friends with Arthur Ashe, and he hasn't come out yet, but I'd like to be proactive and get him on one of these protocols, if this is true." And the HIPAA laws were different back then in terms of medical records. Now you can't reveal anything. So Gary took me back in his office. He showed me, I think it was 5 or 6 medical records. And not just one medical record, but for each client.
Gary, you there?
Each patient.
Do you still want me to fade it down at 55?
After every 3 months or so, another lab workup done. And so you could see the progression. And these people, according to the records, had seroconverted.
A large group of our patients came from the African American community with AIDS, and we were helping them, and it was so wonderful that they came back, they went back out to their community, and they started to spread the word. We started to get a lot of celebrity black Americans, African Americans coming in to help support everything. Dick Gregory, he'd come in and perform for all these people. We had Stokey Carmichael come in, Arthur Ashe, just to name some, were coming by and helping and supporting all the work we were doing.
Gary met with Arthur on Tony Brown Journal show. It was just Tony Brown and Gary, and they invited Arthur down and they had this discussion. And what was interesting about that was Gary, he was talking about pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, which is the opportunistic infection that ultimately killed Arthur. And he and Dr. Robert Cathcart from California, no patient that they had died from pneumocystis carinii pneumonia. It's kind of sad to me that Arthur, in my opinion, wouldn't have died from that if he had been on this protocol. Now, fast forward, Gary, it was a 3-day appearance at the Apollo Theater. And Gary was one of the presenters there. Arthur was there. And I remember Gary calling me afterwards saying, Arthur has gotten cachexic, meaning, I mean, he was always a thin person, but he had lost even more weight. And he said, if he doesn't do something, he's going to be dead in 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, Arthur died. And I remember speaking to Earl Caldwell, who wrote for the Daily News. He knew of my relationship with Arthur. He called me up, and I mentioned with Gary, and there's an article that Earl Caldwell wrote saying, it said, Doc, colon, how Ashe could have aced AIDS. And he mentioned his work in trying to help Arthur. But Arthur, I think he was reluctant to really try it, even though he said it. And he had a sort of blind allegiance to conventional medicine, despite him wasting away. And it's really sad, because I've seen the medical records. Arthur saw the medical records of the people who Cyril converted.
Over the course of time, working collaboratively with Dr. Null, we modified our programs and the therapies they were getting to the individual's needs, because not everybody is the exact same. They all did a lot of the same things, like healthy organic juices all day long. We had a communal room where they would get their therapies that was more like living in a beautiful tropical rainforest kind of setting.
We had psychologists coming in, working with each and every patient to go over their progress and to keep them on track. I'm talking about a holistic dentist, a physicians, podiatrists. We had a colon hydrotherapist. We had nutritionists. It was truly the most multidisciplinary, natural approach group that I had ever worked with in my entire life.
We have 5 minutes to go. We're going to say goodbye to the BBI, and I'd like to see your response up to this point. I'm going to play part two on Monday. And as you're hearing, I'm not saying any of this. These people, these physicians, these nurses, nutritionists, journalists, they were there. And we invited scientists and physicians all the time, come and see what we're doing. Only one did. But in the African American community, dozens of physicians came. And they were there at the Apollo Theater to talk about the success they had. Why is it that we could have all this success and not a single good word anywhere in the American media, anywhere? Instead, condemnation, just like with COVID. Now, I'm used to this. It doesn't deter me from what I do each day. But I'll tell you, if you're used to being at the top of your medical or scientific or whatever career, and you tell the truth and you're suddenly destroyed because of that, it makes you wonder, what kind of country do we live in that would allow this? Well, how about a very corrupt country at the medical industrial complex and governmental levels, certainly at the FDA, CDC, U.S. Public Health Service? And we're seeing that now. They're all being exposed for their lies and also under oath. And you just see them squirming like Lewinsky when she says that you will not get infected and you will not die. And yet, at the same time, all these people were getting infected who had all their vaccines. And they just can't be honest. They're just pathological liars. In any case, if you have something you'd like to say, questions you'd like to ask, a statement you'd like to make, give us a call at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, here's what I'm going to also play you. David Paterson was extremely disappointed when all the work for a whole year went into a whole group of independent scientists reviewing all the records with the patient's consent and saying, yes, these people had full-blown AIDS, today they don't. Some of them still had HIV virus, but they were completely healthy. But we also invited other practitioners around the United States to bring their patients if those patients can be shown to be long-term survivors using only natural protocols. Well, we had 100 physicians and their patients show up. We filmed it. I'm going to post that entire 8-hour film so you can see for yourself. Then I invited scientists from all over the world, from Japan, from China, from Italy, everywhere, where they were doing good work on natural approaches to helping destroy the HIV virus and recover people's health. We did this at the biggest church we could find outside of St. John the Divine, which was not available. It's a big, big church over on Central Park West in the 70s. And we took it over for a day. It started at noon. It went to 10 o'clock at night. And we filmed it all these people coming in. And the room was packed, packed. We guesstimate all day, probably about 3,000 to 4,000 people showed up. Not a word in the media about it. So there was a blackout. It was intentional. They censored everything positive, and then they just began their attacks. And that's the way it is. Let's just see if we have any calls in.
No, Gary, no callers.
No calls? Okay. The documentary that this is based upon is called The Cost of Denial, meaning when you deny that something else exists that can help and has been proven by every scientific metric, and other scientists have proven it. Mind you, we had a whole panel of independent scientists, none of whom did I know, and who spent a long time validating what I'm saying. And these people are saying, the world had a cure for AIDS and a successful treatment, and it chose for greed and politics and power not to acknowledge it. Okay? That's the reality. Now, the same institutions, the same kind of people control the war on COVID. And if you think what they've done is bad, look what they're working together to do to control all of our lives through the World Economic Forum, the Council on Foreign Relations, and all of your major social media platforms. They think that we are so compliant and so non-aware, so lacking in cognitive awareness of our own capacity to make positive choices, that we would just go along with everything they say. Get your identity card. No more cash. Live in a city that's a smart city, surrounded by 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10G. Live in an electromagnetic pulse field that's going to adversely affect every cell in your body. But we're not going to tell you that. We will have you under control. They want to control the farms. They want to control the food. They want to control medicine. They want to control what is acceptable, non-acceptable information. I merely bring you the different pieces on a regular basis to show you how serious they are and how seemingly lacking in seriousness is the average person. What's the most important thing in your life right now? Should be your life, your family's life, your friend's life, your freedoms. I hope that people find their voices before you no longer have a forum you can share that voice on. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for U-Tree's Lead. Have a nice day, everyone.